This podcast is offered by Wildflowers and Sangha. A Dharma Talk by Roshi Amy to SLR Hollowell.
Hello. Welcome to our first full day of online retreat. If we were all together sitting in the same room and eating together and walking together and working together, I think that I would not speak today. I would give us a full day of no talking, just so we could delve into ourselves and into this new position in our lives of being away from our daily lives. But because that's not our situation, I decided I would say just a few words and then maybe open it up for some questions or comments if anyone would like to share something or ask something. There is definitely a difference between being all together in person and being all together like this. When I say that there is a difference, I'm not implying that there is one that is better than the other. I'm just acknowledging the difference that there is. And attempting to adapt to it, to that different situation as best I can, so that we can all come together in a wholehearted way and really go into this practice. Something that came up for me about this practice of practicing in your life, from my own experience of having lived in a community with my children and husband, and making my practice my life and my life my practice in a very concrete way. And since then, having tried to help others do this in different circumstances, because we don't all have that circumstance. And we usually think of it as, in Zen, we often talk about emptiness. We sometimes talk about form and non-form, duality, non-duality, form and emptiness, whatever, all these terms that we use. But I was thinking about it yesterday in terms of vertical and horizontal. And if we think of just the usual life that we live, the daily life, with work, family, friends, health difficulties, bills to pay, parents who need to be cared for, all the different things in our lives in which we function. Let's think of that as being the horizontal world. And this is the world in which we have politicians and we have economic crises and pandemics and worries, cares, but we also have love and happiness and joy in that vertical, in that horizontal world. And this involves each of us in our own lives interacting with others in their lives, in a multitude of ways, whether it's on large scale with, you know, the president of the country deciding how to respond to the pandemic, to what kind of fruit you buy in the supermarket, and the person who's stocking the fruit and who's picking it and shipping it. And then if we think of what we often think of as transcendent or beyond or oneness, wholeness. In Christianity, we might say the divine, what we could call Buddha in our tradition. That's the vertical. And I had read somewhere an image, something to this effect that I kind of translate into these terms. If we open the bottomless or the limitless, let's think of it in bottomless, like a bottomless well, you know. Actually, some people say that my name, my family name, Hollowell, in Gaelic is translated as deep stream or a well with no bottom. And if we think of, it's not hollow in the sense that we normally think of hollow well, but bottomless. And if we think of, by stepping out of our usual way of functioning, with all everything that our life is, like we do here, like when we sit down in our cushion, it's as if we open up that well. And the vertical can be inserted in that space. Or that space opens to the vertical. Which actually, it's not two. I'm just using this as like a visual so that we can think of our lives. But by entering this space that we are entering with our sitting, which opens us to this emptiness, fullness, bottomlessness, limitlessness, whatever term works for you, just by sitting down and stopping and saying, okay, we'll sit for 15 minutes. And let things be. We open up this space where the what we call the mystic, the transcendent, the oneness can we can experience it, let's say. And we can experience it in exactly where we are. We don't have to be anywhere else. This morning after we sat and I was taking my tea and I thought, oh, I'll do something that I don't usually do. So I went out in my garden with my cup of tea, which I never do in the morning. My husband often does that while he's eating breakfast. He's eating his breakfast and walking around in the garden. He's not here at the moment, so I thought, oh, maybe I'll do that for him. So I went out and looked at the garden, and I saw it completely differently than I normally would. Just the fact of opening this space, this hole, I don't want to think of it a hole as something being worrying or troublesome, but more like opening my heart to something else and stepping out and doing something I don't normally do with an attitude I don't normally have. So the attitude of, I don't know, let's look at these flowers and plants differently. The flowers and plants in my garden don't usually concern me very much. That's my husband's domain. And when he's not here, I am assigned tasks to water, to care for certain plants, to watch for certain things. And so this week I have certain things I'm looking for, but I looked at the whole garden differently. Not because the garden was different. Not because I was different, but because I opened that space in myself that could look differently and therefore experience differently. So I opened to that vertical. I opened the horizontal to that vertical. This is just another image, another way of saying what I always say about your life is your practice and your practice is your life. There are no small things. Everything is important. You are the way. Your life is it. Your life is the life of the Buddha. However you want to say it. It's just having your cup of tea in the garden as if it's the first time ever. So, those are just a few things that I thought I would say to you to help put our retreat in context again. Reminders. If you would like to share something, tell us how it's going for you, ask a question, comment on what I've said, please do. There is a function, if you click at the bottom of the page of your page where it says participants, on your right of your screen, it will open up a list of participants. And on the bottom right, there's a function that says raise your hand. And if you click that, then I will see that your hand is raised and I will call on you if you want to say something. You'll have to unmute.
Yes. Yes, yesterday I was here the day and sitting, and I feel the sounds from the streets, from music, kids, neighbors, cats, all the things, and it was so different for me because other day I saw many people, all the people are in holidays, very many children of the street, and they stay at home because of this time, of this pandemic. And they stay all of the streets, and they go with skateboards and music, and they make life around my place. And I see that are so many new adolescents, 8, 10 years, white and black people together in my street, and I'm here inside, but I never feel that like yesterday that I was inside my place. Because I was there inside and I was taking all these feelings from outside too. And okay, it's it.
Thank you. Good example of how things, the circumstances aren't different than they were the day before, but you experience it differently. Thank you. Tiago.
Hello. It was interesting to hear you talk just now about the horizontal and the vertical. I was reminded of something that Frank Roshi said, I think it was last year, about the cross, that the cross is the is the meeting of the vertical and the horizontal, so the mundane and the divine. I don't know where you read that. I don't think it was his interpretation, but from that, I took that it's not one or the other. It's the, I wouldn't say the transcendence of, I don't know how to say this, is so the cross for me was always a symbol of suffering, and having been raised a Catholic, it was never a very happy symbol for me. And thinking of it as a vertical divine and horizontal mundane or everyday life meeting, it kind of transforms its meaning completely. And I was just reminded of that, and I wanted to share that.
Thank you. I don't remember. Now that you mentioned it, I do kind of remember Frank saying that. I forgot completely, but that's exactly it. And I think that probably all spiritual traditions point to that same thing in their different ways and however they go about it, but they do point to that same thing. And unfortunately, we become attached to the images and forms, and we forget that the cross is not about suffering or whatever the symbols are, but we become attached to some idea about them instead of living what they are, what they point to. You know, it's like the Buddhist thing of confusing the finger that's pointing with the moon. It's not about the finger. Lisa?
Hi. I just wanted to share the beginning of the retreat this morning, and how different and this, well, it's just, well, I'm right now at friend's place on holiday with my partner, and so not at all, well, what you would imagine, or I imagine, not being at all an appropriate place for the retreat, as I'm engaged in a social life when I'm not sitting, and so, but this is my initial idea anyway, and then so this morning before sitting, I went down to the kitchen and something happened, and there was this slight irritation with my partner, and went back up, sat down, and said, "Ah, okay, well, that's how it starts." And thinking, well, how much easier it is when you're in a context where you don't have to deal with that. You don't have to, everybody is on the same page and knows how to work around each other. But then I also, you know, after a while, was dealing with that sort of irritation I was watching in me. I also thought then, and that's what you were saying, of mixing both horizontal and vertical, is actually it's good. It's I'm not sure it's the right word is an additional challenge, but it's somehow it's the sheltered space of the retreat is no longer, but it's at the same time you're fully into it, and so it's interesting to be with that, and see what comes out of, you know, of this week in this particular context. So yeah, just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you. Valuable. I think everyone can relate. That's part of the adventure of this retreat is discovery. So, okay, so what happens? What do we do? What will it be like? Okay, so I have this confrontation with someone who's not sitting with me, but then what happens? And can we shelter wherever we are? Great. When I was living in the community with my children and my teacher and other students, I was very jealous of my fellow student, Frank, who Tiago mentioned, because he had no partner, no job, no children, and was totally free to, at the time my teacher traveled, Ken and Roshi traveled a lot and went to, did retreats in different countries, in England, in Germany, in Poland, Holland, Belgium, and I could almost never go because I had children, job, partner. And I was very jealous of Frank. He could do all the sitting periods in the house. I couldn't because at night I had to feed my kids and put them to bed. And in the morning I had to take them to school or take care of the baby, whatever. And then, eventually I came around to realizing that actually my practice was much better. Not in the sense that it was better than his, but it was my practice. The best practice is your practice. And actually it was easier for me because I couldn't choose. I couldn't say, will I go to Belgium and England and maybe Poland and Germany, or will I just go to Germany and England? I couldn't choose. When the opportunity arose, it was fish or cut bait, as we say in English. It was now or never. So if I was in a practice, it was when that window opened, which was an extraordinary practice of helping me to set my priorities, and also to just be with, make entirely my practice whatever was there. If it was changing the baby's diaper, then that was practice. If it was sitting in the zendo, that was the practice. And it was so easy, in fact. Whereas Frank, he had to make all these choices. And he also had to worry about how he was going to earn money. And he was really lonely. He didn't have a partner. Could he go off on a retreat? And what if a job arose that he could take? Or, you know, he had all these other problems. Whereas me, it was easy. In fact, the easiest practice is always your own, wherever you are. And I must admit, you know, I've been sitting here through this talk, and there's someone here with us today, Joanne, who I met at my first Zen retreat in England in 93, December of 1993. And both of us did not stop. Whatever arose. At that time, we each had a child who was about the same age. I think our kids were the same age. And then we both had other children. We had other relationships. We did other things. But look, we're both still here. It's very moving for me to be sitting here with Joanne, actually, for that reason. Because I haven't seen actually Joanne physically since, I don't know, probably since her marriage in Vimitié, you know, or something. You know? So your life is your practice, whatever your life presents. Well, if there are no other questions, comments, someone else has raised their hand again. Seu.
I thought we were together online during the SAMU. Just one quick question, because I thought that we were together during the SAMU online.
That was not planned?
No?
No.
Okay, it was only one question. Okay.
Sorry if that was not clear. Okay.
May I say something?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know exactly how to manage with the hand, sorry. Well, taking into account what you just said about your experience this morning, Amy, and I also am in my holiday time in family's farm. So I went to work for a while outside. There's plenty of work to do. And actually, I had quite a different reaction from yours. I was immediately judging and saying, oh, so many weeds around. So I entered immediately in this kind of, how could you say this, inner fight or something like that, as if I should not be judging things that should not be according to what I thought they should. So I may I ask you if this is also part of the practice, this easy judgment, also the acknowledging that, well, you let it be, perhaps this is how it should be and you just do what you have to do. So my question is the judging interference in this more contemplative action or attitude, like the one you describe, is also, if you acknowledge it, part of the practice?
Yes, the acknowledging is key. You know, in the morning when we chant, you know, all the suffering that I've created with my body, mouth, and thought, now I atone for it. And atoning for it is acknowledging it. Because we do create problems, suffering with our judgments. And I don't know, by judging the weeds, if you create problems, but you do stir up what's happening inside yourself, you know? And you see anger coming up, and then you may like blame someone else for it or be unhappy or whatever it is that arises. And just as they are, there's nothing wrong with the weeds. You know? The interaction with other plants may create some kind of problem if we have an idea of what we want the garden to look like and we want this plant to be favored over another plant. But just by its nature, there's nothing wrong with the weed. There's nothing right about it either. It's just what it is. Our judgment keeps us from seeing that, from experiencing just the basic nature of the weed. Even the fact that we have this word weed that we associate with something negative, unless, you know, in English jargon, weed is marijuana. So for somebody who wants to smoke marijuana, weed is something positive, you know. So whatever we attach to the word, to the plant, keeps us from experiencing just the plantness of it, the suchness of it. It's true. At the same time, if we can open to the suchness of it and see the whole, we have a better opportunity of realizing what response is called for. We know when we do need to take out weeds. You know, if we have these weeds that, in English we call it poison ivy. It's a plant that if you touch it, you have a reaction on your skin and it's very itchy. I'm not sure what it's called in French or Portuguese or any other language, but
Urtigas.
Right, same thing. Urti, yeah. And if you walk in that, or if you touch it, then you have this allergic reaction. So if people are going to be walking there, if children are going to be playing there, you might think it's a good idea to remove it. Or if you're trying to grow, tomatoes or something, and there are plants that interfere with that, it might be okay to remove that, and you might need to remove it. Not judging doesn't mean doing nothing. It means opening the space so you know what to do.
Okay, thank you.
Well, maybe I will just, because Seu had this question about the salmon. So the online meetings are in the morning, at midday, and then in the late afternoon, early evening. There is the optional meeting that the people in Portugal, the group in Portugal, are offering at, I forgot what time you said it was, João.
Yesterday we did it at 8, but it's a bit tricky for us here. So we would like to change it for 8:30 Lisbon time.
Okay.
Anybody who is interested. Thank you.
So for those of you in the UK, that's also 8:30. Australia, I have no idea. in France, that's 9:30. And there's some people in Italy, but they're not online. That's optional if you want to do that. And is that for an hour as well, or?
No, we sit for 45 minutes.
Okay, very good. I remind you that tomorrow and Tuesday, Joa and I will offer interviews. You received the link if you want to sign up for that. And I think that's really all that I need to say. Okay, if that's it, then we'll end here, and I will be back here and hope to see you at 6 Paris time. And have a good afternoon, good lunch.
Okay.
Later.